Hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 133. This week we have lots of discussion of Marvel things because it seems like Marvel are one of the few companies putting anything out right now, or a lot of stuff at least. A few new trailers, and just about it. Let's be real. I'm Valerie.
Tatiana.
I'm Camille.
And let's see, let's start with the trailers since it's kind of a like catch-all discussion. I'm gonna say, because the most recent one I actually watched was the Dune trailer, which I was really excited about. Although it's funny, so I've never seen the original movie, David Lynch movie. I've seen the two sci-fi miniseries and loved them, even though one of them, the first one's not meh. And then I finally read, I listen to audiobooks more than I read, but I've read Dune, Dune Messiah, and Children of Dune, which is the first three books, and then I've not read beyond that because most people say it just gets really weird. and I like the trailer. My dad's a big fan too, but he kind of seems to, I don't know, it's weird. He doesn't seem all that excited. And I thought this trailer did a really good job of, like, introducing kind of the story, but then I heard people saying they know nothing about Dune and they still don't know anything about Dune. So
I am a person who does not know about Dune and still does not know about Dune, but I thought the trailer looked good. And I realized now that it was not Tom Holland in Dune, but Timothée Chalamet, so they are one in my mind, clearly.
I also do not know anything about Dune, but I did like the trailer as well. Even the trailer before that, the teaser looked pretty cool. And then watching the full trailer now, I was like, wow, I'm pretty excited about something I have no idea about. So that's a good sign.
That's promising. Do you guys want to see it? Because it comes out October 22nd here, I think it is now. And it will be in theaters and on HBO Max, although I cannot imagine watching that movie not in a theater.
Probably gonna stream it because we still don't have theaters. Oh. And I don't think anything's gonna open by October at this point.
If things feel safe, I would definitely see it in the theater. Otherwise,
We also don't have HBO Max here, so
we don't have any.
So yeah, we don't have HBO Max or Disney Plus here, so we just find ways.
Yeah.
I don't understand also because like there are a lot of Marvel and Disney fans here. Like, there's a built-in market for Disney Plus. So just give us Disney Plus, we'll do it legitimately. But oh well.
Like, they'll give you actual money instead of just doing things that we shouldn't be doing to see the content. Because otherwise, you're gonna get spoiled, so you kind of have to do something.
We're all gonna find our ways. And I mean, people are pretty happy to pay for Netflix here, so if Disney Plus and HBO Max are,
I think that's always been
they would.
That's always been the problem, is a lot of the stuff where they're like, well, why do you pirate it? And it's like, actually, if you give people legitimate access, most people are going to use that legitimate access.
Exactly.
You just have to give it to them. If you don't, then yeah, they're going to find ways to get it otherwise.
Pretty much.
Like, I remember, what was it? I mean, it's really old and dated now, but there's, like, an episode of Gilmore Girls, I think, where Rory does, like, a story, and she's doing it on, like, Napster. That's how dated it is. And, the guy's, like, downloading all this music, and she's like, oh, so you just download all the music? And he's like, oh, no, I own all the CDs, too, but I just, I can get this, the file, so it's, like, it's just kind of nice to have the the riff or whatever.
Yeah,
it's always been the argument. It's like, give people the access and they will do it legitimately.
That's true. Give us the access.
Yep. I'm cautiously optimistic. Denis Villeneuve has done very amazing sci-fi, and he obviously likes hard sci-fi. So think that's a good thing, and you can tell he loves the story. So
great, yeah.
I think my biggest worry is that isn't this not even like I can't remember if this is actually the isn't it supposed to be like there's two parts, they've broken up the first story, and it's I'm worried that they're not they don't know how to market it and they don't know how to sell it to people because it is a kind of hard one to sell. And what if it just bombs again and you never get the full story?
No. Don't want that. But
Yeah.
At least from the trailer, you think it's going to be one really long thing. At least that's the impression. It doesn't say, like, part one of the two-part saga of whatever. So I wonder.
But I'm pretty sure the stories were that, he was going to break it up because it's so dense and there's a lot and you can't really cut a lot of it out. But, looking at the trailers, I get the feeling I know where it ends in the story. And if that's true, then yes, it's going to have, it's not going to tell the whole story of the first book.
Yeah.
It could be interesting, but it could be really bad if we never get.
But wasn't there a plan to kind of make a Dune TV series too? Because given the complexity and like sheer volume of source material, isn't that like a better fit to just do a TV series? But then
honestly, that's part of why the Dune and Children of Dune, the miniseries that were on Sci-Fi, are Dune is basically just the first book, and then Children of Dune it basically kind of rushes through Dune Messiah and then gets to Dune,
right?
It worked, and there's still a lot they had to cut out for a mini series. So yeah, it is kind of hard to know. I mean, that's part of the problem. I know, like I said, I haven't actually seen the David Lynch movie, but I know that was part of the problem was that it's like a 4-hour movie, and then it's just wacky and 80s. So I don't know. I'm cautious. Like I'm expecting to go in. It looks beautiful, and I'm expecting it to be good, but I'm not getting my hopes up that we get the whole story.
That's a thing,
because I'm really afraid not enough people are gonna go see it, especially if it's also premiering on HBO Max, and we don't know. Like some movies don't seem to be doing as well on HBO Max as they are the Disney combo.
Yeah,
and so it's hard. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. And then if, you know, whatever. Like, obviously, that's months away, so a lot can change still, but
who knows these days, right?
What's going on? What's going on with this world right now? I don't know. Thank goodness for television is all I have to say.
Right? At least that's...
all the streaming services. Yeah. Which, I'll use that for my segue into The Witcher.
Oh, nice.
Because we also got that trailer for season 2, which I then immediately just saw people bitching. I can't believe I had to wait this long and I only get like 5 episodes or whatever it is. And it's like, so there's a global pandemic.
At least
pandemic.
You're getting something, right?
I know.
Be
there's
thankful.
A global pandemic.
Right.
What the fuck do you expect?
And I mean, something like The Witcher, which, you know, takes so much to produce. It's high fantasy. Just be thankful they managed to, I don't know, get together and film the thing, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for whatever I'm. Yeah, just grateful for the crumbs, which is kind of sad.
Matt did make the comment part way through it. He's like, "Where's Yennefer?" And then they show her, and he's like, "Oh, okay. They obviously can't show
She's
us.
Fine.
It's going to be a spoiler." Showing us anything more of her. I'm assuming basically everything in that trailer is from the first like 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna get 8 episodes, which is the same as the first season. We're good.
Well, then why are they bitching?
I don't know.
Because fanboys will do nothing more
anything.
Than bitch. They just like.
Well, also because they've got even less to do these days. Well,
yeah,
they bitch more, I guess.
Yeah.
Right, that's true. They're just trapped.
Yeah. Since they're stuck at home and all they have access to is the internet, all they can do is bitch. So they just bitch even more. Yeah. considering the stories of like people working in hospitality and stuff and how people are treating them and how it basically people have forgotten to be human, I guess this doesn't surprise me or shouldn't surprise me. Yeah, it's funny though, because like we were watching it and we're like, wow, this is one of those times where you're you know, you realize, oh, they really need to hurry up, because like the girl who's playing Siri is like growing fast.
I almost thought they recast her. Then I said, no, it's the same actress. So, she just really grew up fast.
Yeah, she just hit puberty, and she had that
growth spurt.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm worried about the kids for his Dark Material season 3. To be honest, now that I think of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're filming now,
and they're not. Of course, they can't recast them because they're both so good. But it's just that they both look very different now.
That's true. It's always the problem with doing that kind of story where your kids are really growing up and you have to grow with them. And that's why you have to do it basically really fast.
Like Game of Thrones at least did it. Yeah.
Pauses in filming don't help with that. Whereas, you know, you look at like Loki, it started, and I think they only filmed like 2 weeks before they were shut down.
Mm-hmm.
But that actually, like, it worked because it's all adults, so what does it matter? They're not going to change that much. Or they shouldn't, unless they get sick, which luckily nobody does, but yeah. I don't know what else to say. I know I need to rewatch The Witcher before I watch season 2, because it now has been long enough that I don't remember half of what happened. I remember really liking it, but I never watched it again. So. Same. Yeah, I definitely need to rewatch it. Although I think I'm going to do it right before, so it doesn't come out till December, right? We've got some time.
Yeah, we've time. December 17th.
Yeah. Yeah, so I need to give that a bit of space and give me a refresh, because it's like, wait, what happened? And I watched it late, too, because it came out in, what, November of 2019?
December, I think.
December? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was December, when I. Yeah, December. That's right. I was in Europe at the time. So I didn't. Right. I don't think we watched it until like February.
Yeah, I don't think I watched it right away either. I watched it 2020, not in 2019.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna be watching just because I like it and I can't wait to see it. And I'm still, you know, it's 2021 now, and I'm still playing Witcher 3 on my Nintendo Switch because I have not beaten it yet. So.
Oh wow!
But to be fair, it's because I barely play my Switch. That's why. But still, I'm like, why am I not done with this game? Anyway. I will say I did watch, I don't think I can say anything about it, but I did watch The Nightmare of the Wolf, the animated movie, and it will be helpful.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Too.
Yeah, and it's coming out at the end of August, I think, and it will be a good...
The trailer looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I watched
Segue into season 2.
It's because everything came out and they had, like, this Witcher Con.
Oh, that's right, and I got overwhelmed, and it was a bad week for me.
Yeah,
it was like 3 hours long. I said, I can't sit through this. I'll just read the highlights. I'm like, okay, if they release trailers, I'll just watch those. I'm not that invested in the Witcher fandom to sit through an online con. I mean, maybe I could before the season 2 starts, just to put myself in the mood if I am in the mood, but otherwise I'm happy with just doing the highlights.
That one is a prequel?
The animated one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's focused on Vesemir, supposedly the Witcher who raised and trained Geralt.
Oh, okay. So. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. There's some content. Like, it's animated, so maybe some people look down on that, but...
And there's the spinoff, which is like a prequel from like 1,200 years before the show. And
because they are gonna milk that cow.
This universe for what?
They're gonna.
It's a pretty good one though.
Yeah. Well, and it's like it's a that kind of story. There's so much you can like. Yeah, just like give us all kinds of backstory. Like I still don't know why they waited as long as they did to give us sequels or prequels or whatever for Game of Thrones, and it's like you waited too long because now nobody cares because they destroyed your show.
They could have done that like right before the last season, and people would still have cared and would have cared enough to stick around for that whatever spin off that like it's a, I don't know if it's a good comparison, but like The Walking Dead, for example, they had the spinoff even while the main show was ongoing. So that's why, even if it's gotten really bad, and I haven't even watched the latest season of Fear the Walking Dead, but it's been around for like 6 seasons already. So yeah. it survived. It's a weird way of saying, of describing a Walking Dead show. It survived, but yeah.
I had a dream about The Walking Dead last night. I just remembered that, and I don't know why. Nasty. I don't know where that came from. And I can't even remember what it was, but I remember having a dream about it. That's so strange. Anyway, probably because, so San Diego Comic-Con online is going on right now. And so I did get a couple press releases that I actually need to forward to you, Camille. And sure. I think that maybe that's why, because I was like, hey, that's a show that's still on.
And that has like a bunch of spinoffs coming.
I know.
Coming soon, other than, I don't know when Fear the Walking Dead, as far as I know, hasn't been canceled, but it should be. Unless, I don't know. There's the other one that I didn't even get to watch yet, the World Beyond Kids. The Daryl and Carol spinoff is coming after the main series.
There's a Daryl and Carol spinoff?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm so out of the loop.
So it's gonna keep going. But, I mean, to your point that Game of Thrones should have done that, like, right? While they have their main show on, you can start seeding these spinoffs. While people still care. I mean, I'm surprised people still do care about The Walking Dead at this point, but because it's really bad. Say what you want to say about Game of Thrones, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. The last few seasons of The Walking Dead, I just don't know where it was going anymore. It's, at least with Game of Thrones, you know, it had some sort of endpoint in mind. It didn't get there in a good way, but it had some kind of resolution. Walking Dead is just like, they keep surviving anyway. I don't know what else there is to tell at this point.
Same here. Yeah, I
was reading some story the other day, and I think it was about what's it called? It was about the prequel for Game of Thrones. And like, I just like how the author was, okay, we all need to accept that George R. R. Martin is never going to finish these books.
Yeah.
It's like, we all know this, right? Like, it's just never going to happen. I'm like, sad, but true at this point. Because it's now been 10 years since Dance of Dragons came out. We still don't have Winds of Winter. And then he has to write another book.
Yeah. At the time, they were like, hey, maybe by the time we catch up to Dance of Dragons, we'll have the next book and look at what happened. Oh yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Super funny.
Sad but true. It would be nice to know what his actual ending is and try and delete the ending we got from our minds, but you know.
And maybe if it's a good one, they're gonna do a reboot or something, maybe.
You're doing a reboot? What?
Maybe if whenever that happens, they'll be like, we can adapt these books that came out.
Right.
10 years, 20 years later.
If they ever come out.
Good point.
Well, it's funny because, like, I saw... So, Sandra Oh has a new show that for Netflix, right? That's the Benioff and Weiss show. And I was like, I thought everybody realized after the finale of Game of Thrones that they were hacks and we weren't going to give them work anymore. It's like, no, Netflix, you really kept them? And Sandra Oh, come on. There's got to be better.
I don't know what Sandra was thinking. Also, like,
yeah, there's got to be something better you can do. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I was like, oh, cool, Sandra Oh, and then I was like, oh no,
D&D. Well, they're executive producers, I guess, not the writers. So, so maybe they're throwing money at it. Not that.
I suppose the same.
Oh, because it's written by Amanda Peet, who's the wife.
The same way J.J. Abrams, if he executive produces things, I'll watch it, but I'm not going to watch his, like, directorial.
Anything written by him. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I do think it's funny that it took me until, I've been participating in, like, I collect Hot Toys, which Sideshow Collectibles is the distributor in the U.S., and so I've been participating in their Sideshow Con, and it still took me to yesterday to remember that it's happening this week because this would be San Diego Comic Con. I was like, oh, that's right. Because there's hardly, I haven't even gotten that many press releases. I've gotten some, but, like, you can tell just most people aren't doing anything.
Yeah. Because
what's the point? Like, it doesn't need to be, it doesn't need to coincide with San Diego because nobody's in San Diego, so why do we care?
That's true.
Yeah.
Might as well space it out and then get people more interested in whatever thing you're doing, maybe.
The only thing I saw that I was like, kind of interests me, but I'm still not sure, is I guess Doctor Who are doing a panel. It actually, so as we're recording, it's 30 minutes from now. It starts.
Oh, wow.
And there's like a surprise guest, which so they're building up that there's a surprise guest that's going to be on the panel, and you know, it's like, who is he going to be? Which I'm like, okay, I kind of want to see who the surprise guest is, but at the same time, I'm like, I still think Doctor Who needs to take a break.
That's true.
I don't know
what it's not. It's not Jodie Whittaker's fault. It's just that maybe it's Chris Chibnall. I don't know. I'm so
it's so hard because
underwhelmed.
It really hasn't been great or relevant for several years now.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because I used to love it so much. I mean, even
I was obsessed.
In the Russell T. Davis cheap special effects days, it was still super fun. I said, I miss those days when I really cared about all the characters and the bad special effects didn't even bother me because the writing was so strong.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, we talked about it with the last season, and I was kind of intrigued with what they're doing right now, but at the same time, the minute is over, I forgot about it. So obviously, it's not, it's there, but it's not insanely exciting.
Bad time.
Yeah, so I would kind of like it to just fade off for a little bit.
But maybe they're gonna keep it for a couple more years, because I just realized that in 2023, I think it's going to be the 60th anniversary. So maybe they're going to do a thing for that. Remember, they made this big fat big thing for the 50th. And which made me realize, wow, it is like 8 years since that one. So we're almost on the 60th. And we've been watching the new run of Doctor Who for quite a while now.
2005, it came back.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's still going.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't help that, like, one of the things we were so excited about the last season has now turned sour because of the revelations about John Barrowman.
Yeah.
I saw something yesterday where they were talking, like, it was really awful. He reviewed the new M. Night Shyamalan movie. And he actually tagged M. Night Shyamalan to tell him it was a terrible movie and he got his money back at the end of it.
Oh,
it was
my
like,
God.
You're in Hollywood. You should know better than that. But the person was like, this is his desperate bid to stay relevant when his career is floundering because he couldn't keep it in his pants. It's like, yeah. Sad but true. Why do people suck? I don't know. But yeah. You know, maybe something exciting will happen in that panel today and I'll care about Doctor Who again, but, you know, I'll probably watch it when it comes back out, but I'm not excited at all. Whereas I just got information, or we just got confirmation that the next season of Endeavor will be dropping in the autumn, and I am excited
about that. Oh, I know you love that show so much.
Endeavor, I love.
Especially because I still think it's about to end.
They haven't actually confirmed it at this point. Yeah.
Well, it's because
I don't even remember what happened last season. Oh, it had the Italian guy. Something.
Yeah.
Was that last season? Yeah.
Yeah. So
I vaguely remember what happened.
The Inspector Morse. It was 33 episodes. Inspector Lewis. They did 33 episodes and never went further in honor of Morse. And now.
Oh, right, because now it's 30 episodes.
This would bring it to 33 episodes, 33. So we're almost positive it's ending. But we'll see.
End on a high, anyway. That'll be good. I mean, it's been consistently, I think it consistently strong because, I guess because they only do 3 episodes per season, so they can really, they don't have to spread the material out. And
yeah.
I don't know, let's see.
Always been quality over quantity is the one good thing the Brits do. Like, give us a bunch of good as opposed to 22 episodes of shit.
Right. I mean, you can even you can even, you're never even sure, you're 100% sure with this kind of model that you're going to have quality because Sherlock season 4. So
yeah,
that was 3 episodes that I wish I never watched.
I keep seeing people on Tumblr talk, and yes, I'm still on Tumblr sometimes.
So am I.
I keep seeing them talk sometimes about how we have rumors of a season 5 of Sherlock, and I'm like, guys, I really think that that horse is, like, stop beating that dead horse.
Yeah, and nobody cares anymore.
It's good and truly dead.
Please. Yeah. People moved on.
Yeah, I think they all have. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like since she wasn't very excited about talking about it, but we're going to talk about it anyway, we should let Tatiana give her brief review of Space Jam, and then we'll just end with Marvel.
Okay.
Yay for me!
Congratulations.
Hey, you saw it. It's your fault.
Yeah, I know. It is my fault. Okay. So, I would have to say that I understand that they just want to, like, make it, like, a shared WB universe or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But there's just so many, what's the question? Or what am I saying? Like, there's just, like, so many, like, different, like, disparate things that they just threw in there for the sake of showing how much they have, I guess. And it doesn't actually make sense. Like, someone told me that there is, like, a character in there from, like, I can't remember, a movie about a nun who gets, like, raped or something.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Or, like, a...
What?
Like, yeah, there's... Yeah, whatever. There's, like, this, like, horror film about a nun, and they have that character in there. And I was like, why? This is the children's movie. Like, obviously, like, if you're a child, you're not going to know that. But, like, it's still just, like, what? Why is this person here? Or, like, the...
There is a horror movie called The Nun, but how is that even related to
Space Jam? Yeah, but no.
Right, yeah.
Like an older movie than that. It's not like the nun from the Conjuring universe. But yeah, but
yeah, that
I'm
is
sure
the one. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, like there is a movie called The Nun from the Conjuring universe, but I think it's like an even older movie than that.
Oh.
Anyway. Weird. Yeah. So it was just like random things like that that I don't understand why they were like putting all these things together. Like it was just like one long extended advertisement for how much WWE has, but they didn't do anything to make it seem appealing. Obviously, I mean, LeBron James, I'm sure he's a very nice man, and he's worked very hard, and, you know, he's a great basketball player, but, like, acting is not really, like, a thing that he should be doing, and it's funny, because in the movie, you know, Don Cheadle's character, who is, like, an AI, right? Don Cheadle's character is the AI that comes up with this idea that you can tell is just, like, a money-grubbing evil idea of just throwing LeBron James into things. To market, to like use his brand, right? And to make money for him and for the WB. And that's clearly bad. And LeBron says he doesn't want to do that because he's not an actor. But LeBron is doing that in this movie. The WB is like,
that's
look at our
meta.
Villain. Yeah, exactly. Look at our villain who is doing what we are doing to you. It is so weird. I did not understand it at all. And then like, I don't understand, like, how they reach the conclusion they reach. So, LeBron is, like, pushing his son to be a basketball player because he is a basketball player. Sure. Okay. And the son is like, no, Dad, I want to play video games. And then the video game, or I want to make video games, not play video games. He's going to make video games. The video game he makes is used by evil computer thing, Don Cheadle, to then trap them all in this game. Okay? So I'm like, okay, so video games are bad, right? Like, I don't see how this is good. But then in the end, after they get out of the video game, LeBron is like, I have learned my lesson. And now you can go to video game making camp. I was like, but why? All I learned is that video games will literally suck you in and try to rob you of your life. But I guess you learned that your son is very creative. I guess. I don't know. So yeah, it was really weird. But I did like Sinequa Martin Green as the wife, as the fictional wife. I just think it's weird because like I think the names of the kids are actually his kids. And his mom is actually like his mom's name obviously is his mom, but it's all these other actors playing his family members. So I was like, how do I feel as his family member, like not being in this movie? Because I'm just not as famous as him, right? Because it's not like because I can't act, because LeBron can't act either. I'm not in this movie. Because no one cares who I am. Anyway, I did like Sinequa Martin's Green as a fictional wife who was basically telling LeBron to stop being such an ass to his son. And I guess she wins in the end because he stops. But it was it was not for anything that she did. So yeah, overall, it was just like a drag. And I think, like, I like Looney Tunes, you know? And so it's nice to see all the characters back, but they don't really get to do anything that's, like, particularly iconic to them. The only one that really had, like, has, like, a storyline / plotline is Bugs Bunny, and he's the one that you spend the most time with. But otherwise, it's really just, like, they come in, they say who they are, and they get, like, one basketball thing, you know, in the actual
battle. It's even less than the first one.
Yeah, the first one was actually, you know, masterful in comparison.
I have fond memories of the first one because I saw it as a child, and as a child, exactly. That was all I needed it to be.
Exactly. I remember thinking it was kind of dumb as a kid too. So
it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's fun. Mm-hmm. And even now, that's why I would still forgive whatever ridiculous thing it was, because I said, you know what, at the time. But now I didn't see the need for a sequel, and now it sounds not even joyous for children.
Yeah, just rewatch the first one. Like, just introduce your kids to the first movie, and you'll be fine. You don't need to
just stay there.
Okay.
What's sad is that you say LeBron James is so bad and shouldn't be acting, and all the things I've seen were, well, he was better than MJ.
I mean, that's probably true. MJ MJ was definitely worse, but MJ also didn't have as much to carry. Like, he was literally just MJ, you know? Yeah. Whereas LeBron has to have fake dynamics with his kids and with his best friend and with his wife. And I'm like, okay. Also, I was offended by this. LeBron James's mom is still alive, right?
Right.
She didn't die in the movie, but was there in the prequel in the opening scene with, like, young LeBron. She's played by Zosia Brookmore, I think is her name. She was in Mindy Project. I love her. Anyway. And that was great. And they set up this whole, like, he works so hard and he never takes a break because that's what his mom taught him, because they needed money, et cetera, right? And then once he's got all this money and the ability to take a break, and all this is due to, like, his mom is not there at all. She's not in the game. She's not, like, no one ever mentions her. I thought she was dead. I was like, oh, did his mom die? And I looked up, she's alive. I was like, why isn't she in this movie?
Weird.
Like, hello?
Weird.
But anyway. I think that they rely more on LeBron as an actor, that he's not a good actor. But it's not like it was like, he's certainly not the most painful part of the movie. The most painful part of the movie is just the constant advertisement for random Warner Brothers things. Like, every scene is like a poster in the back wall of like something that's Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah, I saw somebody say there's actually like a Supernatural reference at one point, and I was like, huh? Why? Why?
Really?
That is just WB. That is WB. But yeah, no, it is like the whole extended universe. And, oh, right, they go through different worlds because the Looney Tunes were separated, right? And they were just randomly inserted into different franchises that are also belonging to the theme. Which, of course, is very evil of Warner Brothers imaginary to do, but it's also what Warner Brothers Real did in the movie. Again, the meta is the most fascinating aspect of the film. Also, I heard it made, like, $1 billion. Not $1 billion, but it did really, really well. And I'm like, I hate that it
That's
did really
just
well.
The time we're living in.
Exactly. I hate that
it's just the pandemic.
They're just being rewarded for garbage. Why?
Oh, man.
Anyway, that's all. That's my rant about Space Jam 2.
What's it called, Space Jam 2? There's no subtitle.
A New Legacy is what it is. A New Legacy.
Ew.
Yeah.
Somebody was pointing out that now that Discovery owns Warner Brothers, this movie will be interesting in a few years once Discovery just starts selling everything off.
Oh, so yeah.
It's like, look at all the things we
that
own.
Should be something.
We don't anymore.
Yeah. Word. Yep.
Yeah. But, I just remembered that I wanted to talk about the Olympics really quick. So at least it's still sports kind of sort of related. Because I did watch some of it last night. I really, really hate NBC's coverage. It never gets better. Why can't somebody better do this coverage? We're trying to get our sling box working so we can watch the BBC's coverage because it's better. But the worst part was, so like, I had two complaints last night. We're watching. First, they had like some of the swimming on, and I can't remember which race it was, but Tunisian man won, and it was a surprise, which was awesome. It's only their fifth gold, or their fifth medal ever in the Olympics, and he was obviously super surprised and excited, right? And then he gets interviewed, and they just keep asking him how he won. Like, how the... And it honestly, like, I thought it was just me, and then Matt turns to me, and he's like, so basically she just keeps asking, how did you beat the white people? Because that's what it comes off as.
Oh, it's my like, God.
Oh, my God. That's can you awkward. Stop asking how? Because she doesn't ask it once. She asks it repeatedly. Instead of, how do you feel about the fact that you won? How do you feel about the fact that this is, you know, you won gold, and this is only the fifth medal for your country ever? Like, he's so excited, and it's just like the whole thing is just, how did you beat the white people? Because we didn't expect that. And it was just like, oh my God, can you get this woman off my
2021
screen? I know. I was like, what the heck is happening? I don't, you know, it's one of those like stupid white people, like, she doesn't realize that's what she sounds like, but that's exactly what she sounds like.
Oh man.
And then we're watching some of the skateboarding, which is, this is the first time that skateboarding has been in the Olympics. So it's a big deal. And it's just, it's hilarious.
Is Tony Hawk just there?
He is there. He's commentating a little bit. Like, he's a consultant, kind of. He barely talked, but he was there. Anyway, but they just keep, it was hilarious because they just kept being like, this is the best skateboarder in the world. And then they immediately fall.
That's so sad.
I'm just happy for Tony Hawk.
Like, every time they're like, this guy's really good at this, fall on the floor. Like,
and you're like, this is the Olympics.
Yeah, this is awkward. So cool. And they're like, most of them are wearing like baggy pants that look like they're about to fall off. They have headphones in or earbuds in, and their phones are falling out of their pockets because they have their phones in their pockets. I'm like, how am I supposed to take you seriously when I'm watching like the gymnasts who train, or the swimmers who train like crazy, and you can't even put your phone away? Like, oh my god, it's just bad. I know it's a real sport, and I know they put a lot of work into it, but it just, the juxtaposition of them, it was just like, wow, this just feels really weird. So yeah, that was my experience, and I just really hate NBC, and I need to be watching the BBC coverage because it's so much better. Like, it's so much better than a few, I can't, not the last Olympics, I think, but the one before that, or was it one of the, it might have been one of the Winter Olympics in the UK. I think the BBC had the rights forever, but oh, wow. Sky won the rights. But even they were like, hey, BBC, can you do the coverage for us? Because you do it so well. We just want your coverage, but we're going to get the profits from it. It's like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, the women's gymnastics is tonight, so that's all I really care about. I'll see. We'll watch more over the years, over the few weeks, but see. But yeah, that was my, just, I needed the bitch for a minute because I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Anyway, moving on to something happier, we hope. Which part of, so what, do we want to start with Loki, or we want to start with Black Widow?
I was happier about Loki, so I can say, can I save it for later?
Okay, so do Black Widow first.
Yeah.
That's fair. Or should we start with the What If trailer?
Yeah, let's go, let's by length, okay. Right?
So, What If trailer. I like a lot that it's put, like, it's pushing into the multiverse idea. It's just like straight out, no, these are universes that exist now that we have a multiverse, although that probably should have followed Loki, but whatever. So I like that. I don't know, I'm just excited because it's going to be so different. Although it's going to be really sad to watch the episodes with Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt, but. Okay. I'm happy that they got, so they got all but four people to voice their characters. I understand Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, even though I'm a little annoyed that they wouldn't do it, but like, maybe they just didn't want to pay them enough, probably is what happened, right?
Right.
But why are Benedict Cumberbatch and Brie Larson not voicing their characters? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
I was wondering, like, cause it couldn't have been that they were filming at the time or something, right? Like, or...
I mean, they can go in their closet and film, like, a line. I don't know. It's weird.
Or maybe they're maybe it's a red herring and they actually, maybe it's a spoiler. Or not. Maybe they just don't want to do it.
They're not.
I mean, I don't like Benedict Cumberbatch's Doctor Strange voice anyway.
That's true.
So, because his American accent is weird. And whenever whenever Benedict Cumberbatch tries to do an American accent, because he's done several at this point, it's just like, why?
Never good. Yeah.
Why do you have to do this? I mean, I think the worst was still August Osage County. I don't know. It was just
I never saw that.
Where he was, I don't know where, it was just a regional accent that didn't work at all. And then, yeah. I think he did one recently. He had this recent movie where he was an American military person. And yeah, why are you American again? But anyway, so maybe that's why. Maybe. It's extra money to pay him to do another accent. Whereas if you just get him to be like Smaug, for example, where he's just British but a dragon. I don't know.
Makes total sense.
Yeah. I feel like I can understand he's really super busy, but like Brie Larson was just like recording YouTube videos every day during the pandemic. So I feel like she could have done it. I don't know.
She was on vocal rest.
Maybe.
But she was recording songs and stuff, so that doesn't make sense.
And that's why she needed vocal rest for the songs.
But, wow. I mean, it looks like a lot of fun, and I would assume that it's going to be a series that comes back, because you can just do lots of crazy
so much.
Shit. Yeah. Is it 10 episodes? I can't remember. I think so. All I know is I have already pre-ordered.
Yeah, 10 episodes.
I've already pre-ordered my Captain Carter Funko, so I am excited about that. But so this August 11th, which means we have what, 3 more weeks? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only 3-week break. That's not
3-week
so bad.
Marvel break.
I know, we're getting spoiled, like, with all these series, because we still have...
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, we still have 2 more series that we don't know what the dates are this year.
Yeah, so, right.
Miss Marvel and Hawkeye are both coming out this year. We just don't know when.
Fun time.
So exciting. But let's move on to... We'll talk about the not as exciting of the two, I guess.
Okay.
Which is Black Widow, which came out on my birthday, which was exciting, because I got to go see it in a theater, in my favorite theater. I got to go to the Chinese.
Yay.
And we actually saw it twice. We saw it the day before my birthday and the day of my birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it was, I thought it would be weirder, because that was the first time I've been back in the theater in a year and a half. I thought it would be weirder, but it really wasn't.
Uh-huh.
We wore masks, I would say maybe 25%. That's probably being generous, but maybe 25%. Okay. This was before the mask mandate went back into effect in LA.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't too bad. I liked the movie. It's not very high on my ranking list. I haven't done a ranking.
It's not high on anyone's ranking list, but it's not at the bottom either.
It's only
middle. Right. It's middling.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Yelena is the best thing to happen in a while to the MCU.
Mm.
The best new thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Because Florence Pugh is amazing.
She is.
Heck, I even like David Harbour and Rachel Weisz. And I'm interested, what are they going to do with all of them? We get to see, give us a Black Widow series. That'd be cool.
Well,
Ray, of the remaining widows.
Yelena, we will see more of for sure, so there's
definitely. That was the best scene in the movie.
Definitely.
Her at the grave, and then deciding she's going to kill Hawkeye because she should, because he sucks, and he deserves to die.
I just really I also like Valentina, because Julie
she's fun.
But her character there is really just her character in Veep, but in a Marvel series. Because she had that one line where she was sniffling. And you think she's sad, and she's like, no, I'm allergic to the Midwest. And I'm like, that is something that Selena Meyer would say. So you're just basically doing Veep, but in a Marvel show, but I'm not even complaining.
She's great. Yeah. Well, and I like the way that they're mirroring her story with basically Nick Fury recruiting the Avengers. And it really feels
because she
like
has the Captain America at this point. With
So Sean it really Walker. Feels like she's going to give us the Thunderbolts, which is the anti-hero. Right. Which is basically the not as moral. Vulgar Suicide Squad in the Marvel Universe, I guess. So that's cool. But yeah, it's interesting because I'm like, I do want to know. I'm like, is she playing Yelena? Or is she, like, you know, obviously only one other person was on that planet. So only one other person knows, one person knows what happened.
I'm thinking Clint probably said something in a drunken,
right.
In a drunken, I don't know, not rage, in his grief. Oh my God, we were on this planet. And she sacrificed herself. And someone was like, oh, take note.
Yep.
Because Clint is that kind of sloppy, I say. That's funny.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Like, she's, you know, we assume Hawkeye is the good, like, because it is the introduction of Kate Bishop. We assume it's the goodbye of Clint Barton, which, you know, would be nice at this point. Man, Jeremy Renner looks rough in that photo, by the way. The picture she uses on the on the iPad, it's like,
oh. He's going through it. He's going
through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, at that point, like, just put him out of his misery. Do it.
Yeah. But the movie itself, it was a fun ride. I really like the opening credit sequence.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was dark.
It's only, the third time there's been one in a Marvel movie?
Oh, wow.
Third or fourth, I think? Yeah they don't do them, obviously. Heck, now half the time you don't even see the title of the movie until the end credits. Right. So, yeah. I really like that. It was a really good way to give us the montage and kind of show us what was happening and give us the backstory without having to spend a lot of time on it. And that cover is amazing.
Yeah, I loved the cover. That was amazing, yeah.
Did you guys notice, so in the... when you see Alexei's tattoos, it's his right arm, I think. He has one where there's, like, roses, and then there's some words in, you know, Russian. It's the Cyrillic. Mm. They say, it says Natasha and Yelena.
Aww.
I know, I was like, oh, you did care.
Okay, there's a thing about that whole family situation, which I found weird after watching the movie, because the trailers do want to show you, well, when you see the trailers, you think that it's an established family dynamic relationship, and you think that it's been around for a while, but after the opening scene, then you know, oh, it was only a 3-year fake Russian spies embedded in the US kind of setup, like the Americans, such a good show. So it's weird because other than like Yelena's bond with Natasha, because they were small children, so obviously it was really significant for her. For Melina and Alexei, it was basically a job. Even if they say later on, actually, we cared about you all along. It wasn't real. So it kind of diminishes the whole family bond that they were trying to sell in the end. At least for me. Especially as excellent as Rachel Weisz always is in anything, she was the most problematic of them all because, like, David Harbour's character, Alexei, is basically just a thug, right?
Yeah.
He's just a lovable thug idiot, whatever, and maybe he means well, but he's basically the muscle. But Melina, again, is a scientist. And, like, weren't we bothered by the fact that she was okay with manipulating pigs and by extension, this whole generation of widows? And there wasn't a lot to show her sudden change of heart, that in the end, I cared about these two widows in particular, so now I am going to betray the organization I have loyally been working for the last few decades, because I realize that my actions have actually destroyed at least two lives, but you didn't have any qualms about destroying the lives of dozens of other widows, right? Like, you didn't seem that bothered by it. That was, she was like really scared. Yeah, well, she was very villainous, monstrous to me, because she was just okay with all that. And then in the end, the movie doesn't even, like, they just brush it off. They're like, oh no, she's on their side now, and all good. I'm like, no, not all good.
Yeah,
she was part of the problem.
Anyway, I think that is one of the problems, because I think the movie kind of brings up interesting ideas like that, like the dispassionate scientist who doesn't think about the consequences of their actions. It's very much like, you know, the Manhattan Project and things like that. They're not thinking about what, they're just like, ooh, the science, and they don't think beyond it and how it affects other people. And so it does bring up some interesting ideas like that, but then you're right, it doesn't really give you the satisfying conclusion to it, because it's just like, well, okay, but they cared about these people, and it's great, and you can see, and the idea of, even though they all wanted to be this dispassionate people, they still had human connections, or they still formed human connections. But yes, it's like, it's superficial in the way it does it, but it is interesting that it feels, in some ways, it almost feels like more of a real family than the Avengers ever did.
Sadly. But, I mean, I guess the really strong performances, that's why they sold it. Even if, when you really think about it a little bit, oh, it's only a 3-year thing. But it's because they're all so charismatic, the four of them together, they sell it.
Right.
And in one movie, even if 3 out of 4 of these characters are new characters to us, like, I care more about them than I did about... I mean, this is what we wanted the Avengers to be.
Yeah.
Basically.
And I mean, I love the Avengers, but I love them individually. For the most part, you don't, like, it's not surprising when they break up, because, well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of egos in that group. And of course, they all have different opinions of what everything should be.
But I did read this review of, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
About when we talk about the dynamic and Natasha's role in the Avengers vis-a-vis Natasha's role as well in this new family setup. And it's basically, I guess, an indictment of the movie as a whole, where it's supposed to be her solo movie, but she still feels like a supporting player. So she's like the mom friend in the Avengers, or she's like the best friend. She's always supporting Tony or Cap or whoever, or Hawkeye. Or the Hulk. I don't want to talk about that so much, but I mean, she's always moral support. Like, she's that friend. That's the role. And in this one, she's kind of that again for Yelena. She's not really the driving. Well, she doesn't feel like she's the driving force of the movie. You feel more invested in Yelena. And, then, you know, Yelena just recruits her to help Yelena, like, take down the new Red Room. Mm-hmm. And I do, so yeah, it's sad because this is long overdue. She really should have had her own solo movie before. But in a way, it's still good that she got this after Endgame, because Endgame was not a very good send-off for the character, because that was just cheap. So at least she still gets this up, because I was trying to debate with myself on what would have worked in terms of timing, timing the release of this film, because of course it's been too long, but in the end, I'm okay that it comes after Endgame, because then you can still remember the character. Because if your last scene with Natasha is whatever she did in Endgame, that does not do justice to her and the character, I think. And plus, it sets up that really nice after credits scene with Yelena. And I like legit felt myself tearing up when I saw her visit the grave, and it's like, oh no. I didn't even feel that sad when Natasha died in Endgame. But seeing Yelena's reaction, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I was sobbing. As soon as I realized what that scene was, I was like,
yeah.
But it was funny, the second night, I took my mom with us, and I need to show her Endgame again, because it's been a while, and she'd forgotten that Josh died. So when it got to that scene, she was like, what? I was like, just wait.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so I had to remind her, and she's like, oh, wait, that's right, on that other planet. And I'm like, yes, there you go. That's, now you got it.
That's it.
But yeah, we need to catch her up. I'm like, I forgot that it's been a while for her, and she hasn't seen it like 80 times like I have. So I'm like, oops. Yeah. She is one of those people who those Marvel Legends, I think, the little like clip shows they do on Disney Plus. Those are helpful for to remind her where the characters were. Except that then I showed her the one for Loki, and it just confused her more because that shows all of his journey. And I'm like, no, but you have to remember he's actually only at this point, not like this point. Like he doesn't remember. He didn't live any of this stuff. He just lived up to here. But yeah, so that was funny because she was so confused.
I mean, to be fair, keeping track of Marvel for a non-fan, it's a lot to keep track of.
Even it really like, is.
It's a lot.
It's a lot for a fan to keep track of.
Even, right? It's a lot for me, and I don't even read the comics. So I said, imagine what it's like for comic readers, too. Like, I don't even want to get into that. I'm just with the movies and the TV series, I've gotten more than enough, I guess.
Yeah. I do feel bad for people who are fans of the comics, who are fans of Taskmaster, because I do know killed that character. it was an interesting way to try and fit that character in, but you kind of took what was interesting about that character and just dumbed it down. It was an example of the way that sometimes they try and make it more real. And it doesn't really work because it just destroys what was interesting about the character.
Right.
You know, the fact that the character, it's a he in the comics, can mimic, and it's not because there's a microchip in their brain or whatever. So that was
his power.
Yeah, it's actually the power. And somebody was like, well, maybe they'll bring it back and do it right. And it's like, no, I think you've, like...
Once you've done it, you've done it.
Yeah, it would be weird if now you have somebody else who, hey, look, they can do what the original Taskmaster did, only it's powers now. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially because you're already have done the Mandarin story, and now you're going to fix the Mandarin story. You really can't do that again.
That's true.
Yeah. So... that was unfortunate. Like, I saw somebody who was commenting in one of the groups I'm in about how they had bought all this stuff, because Taskmaster is one of their favorite characters, and they had bought all this stuff for the movie, and now they're like, I don't want any of it, because I don't like that version.
That does suck.
Which is a legit... I can understand. I did see a lot of people complaining about how unrealistic the fight is at the end, like when they're in the sky.
In the sky.
And it's like, we're watching a comic book movie. What do you expect? Like, that's one of those times where it's like, no, you just suspend disbelief and accept it. Yeah. Yes, it's dumb, and there's no way it could happen this way. Just accept it.
I saw this clip of someone trying to count how many times Natasha should have died realistically, and I'm like, really wasting your time on this?
Right.
You think she's gonna die like halfway through the movie? Of course not. Right. We know when she actually dies, so you know that at any point she's not, no matter how fatal she, like how many times she falls into the water, the car crashes into the subway. Right, she's not gonna die.
Right.
Just let it go.
Little notes. Somebody pointed out that the first time you see Natasha in Iron Man 2, she's walking towards you, and now the last time you see her in Black Widow, she's walking away. And I'm like, simple little things like that make me sad. I did not realize until she put on the fucking vest that it was the vest from Infinity War. I was like, oh my god, that's right.
Yeah, I like.
And now you feel like you want to rewatch it and be like, "Oh, it's the best that Yelena put so many pockets into."
I just think the movie would have been so much better if it had come out chronologically when it was supposed to, before Infinity War, and if they had put the other Avengers in the movie, because the whole movie is about how she has two families, right? But one of those families is not in the film at all. And they don't do anything to prove that they are her family. She just realizes it on her own or whatever. She just
says it.
Yeah. And then we don't actually see her do anything about that in later movies. Whereas if it had ended with, like, you know, like at the end when the widows come back for them, it would have been really cool. I thought, I expected, even though I knew that they weren't going to be anyone, but for a second I thought maybe some Avengers would be there with them. Like they had heard what was going on and they came to help, you know?
Yeah.
Like, whoever's just still around, like, not in jail or whatever, you know? Especially if it had been someone from the opposing
Thor team. Thor and Banner.
Yeah.
Or just there somewhere.
Exactly. And then she'd be like, oh my God, that's right. Cause they are my family and families stick together even when they fight. Right? Like, whatever. Yeah. That would have been really nice. And then we could have seen, because they would have known this was a movie that existed with a storyline that existed, they could have put some of, like, Natasha as that role in Infinity War before she, you know, gives up her life for Hawkeye, of all people. Yes. The unworthiness of it all. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. I think it would have helped. Because I can't be the only person who, when she walks, or she when she goes into her trailer at the beginning of the movie, expected it. I was like, are you actually, because she's talking about Steve, or it's got the thing where it's the voiceover where they're on the run, right? And I was like, are they gonna have like Steve in the bed, like what the hell? And then it's just some random dude that you don't know, and you're like, oh, because it felt like there needed to be some more connection. I understand why there wasn't, but it's like same time. And then how the fuck does she get away from Ross at the end? That would have been helpful to
know. She was already away from him, I suppose. She's a super spy. Like,
well, but things no, that, but you know, at the end, she's just standing there waiting for him and his ridiculous amount of SUV people. And she just stands there. And I mean, I guess it would have been nice to have at least seen her start like the same way she did at the end of Civil War, where she's talking to Tony and then she just walks away. That's all you needed, was to actually see her. She's like, well, I could just stand here and let him capture me, but I'm not going to. Instead, she's just standing there. So you're like, wait a minute, but how did she get away? I don't know. Even just a shot of her trying to walk in the other direction would have been beneficial in some way. I don't know. It's a little weird. The other thing I do really like, though, that even though this movie, so it's supposed to take place before Infinity War and it doesn't, somebody to point out that after, so basically, her sister starts making fun of her and her pose. She does it one time in this movie. After that, she never does it in Infinity War or Endgame. So basically, her sister gives her shit for the pose and she stops doing it.
I'm
like, it's like,
I mean, obviously it's a retcon, but it's cute.
Yeah. It's like, it fits. Uh oh, we lost Tatiana.
Oh.
Uh oh. She was having, I know she's having not as good internet where she is. She's in Texas visiting her dad.
Okay.
So, hopefully she will come back.
Yeah, I can, I guess, wait. I mean, we always say that we don't have much to talk about, but we're like an hour in already. And we haven't even started talking about Loki. So, yeah. I think we're good. I think we have enough.
I think we're going to have plenty, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sending her a text message.
Yeah.
To be like, where'd you go?
Yes, wait. I did enjoy the movie, though, to be fair. It was entertaining. It was sometimes really fun. It's just, yeah, it's forgettable. It's a mediocre Marvel film.
It kind of was exactly what I expected it to be. Like, okay. I never... There she is. Okay. I never
Welcome
really
back.
Thought...
Thank you.
I never really thought it was going to be like, oh my God, one of the best Marvel movies. So it basically gave me what I wanted. And, you know, that was just the mostly good, clean fun.
Right.
Some new characters that I kind of enjoy. And just filling in the story. I do like the idea that, you know, now that they've done this, they could, if they wanted to, go back and do it again. Where they just fill in kind of the story somewhere. If they really wanted to. I don't know if they will, but
yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
That's a possibility for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it was what I expected it to be. I wasn't expecting the next Winter Soldier or
Thor,
Guardians
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok or I keep wanting to say Wakanda Forever because I'm thinking of the second movie, Black Panther. I totally just had a thought and now I blanked on it again. Shit.
It'll come back.
I was gonna say something. Oh, the Winter Soldier was what made me think about it. Going back to the Taskmaster thing, that was the one problem. Was it feels like, okay, so even though we knew in the Winter Soldier exactly who Bucky was, or at least most people going into that movie knew exactly who was under that mask, he's incredibly menacing. It feels like that's what Taskmaster should have been more like, whereas she never feels like much of a threat, really.
Mm, yeah.
And so that was the one problem. Like, that was that even more than what the story ends up being. Like, it was also incredibly obvious the minute you find out about Dreykov's daughter.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's who's in the suit.
Right. I mean, the moment they even talk about, remember Dreykov's daughter, like, she's obviously still alive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, oh, okay, so now I know who's in the suit, that's cool. Yeah. But it still, it should have been a more menacing character, like a real threat, and it never felt like it somehow. I think it probably, like, I understood having her watching the video of the Avengers fighting, and I do like that you can see, like, you know, the minute she brings out the claws. And so she's got the, like, there's the Black Panther stance, and then there's a moment where she's dropping the knives, and you can see, like, okay, that's a Winter Soldier thing. So, like, I understand, like, that was kind of cool, but I think it would have worked better if you actually had her mirroring people that were right in front
of her. Yeah, exactly. And I think if you don't remember, you wouldn't know. Because, like, I sure don't remember people's moves, so I was like, I know she's supposed to be mirroring people, and I'm sure she's doing it, but I don't see it.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think that was part of the way people just were as big fans of Taskmaster, which is, I can understand that. But, you know, even then, like, it was enjoyable. I've seen it 3 times now. I don't expect to watch it again anytime soon. But, you know, I'm excited for the rest of the year. And we have 3 more movies coming out, which is insane.
I know.
I do want to say something about the villain. Well, yeah. Dreykov is the villain of the piece, yes. Really. And I like Ray Winstone, but here he really was, like, underwhelming. Plus, he was so cocky. He's supposed to be Russian. He's still pretty much Ray Winstone. Also, when you think about, I guess I read a review where they wanted to really just focus on Natasha and her family and her fight against the character. And they said that's maybe one justification for not developing the villain so much. I mean, it's one of those problems where, you know, a show and tell kind of problem. You're always just told that Dreykov did all these horrible, monstrous things. Kidnapping, brainwashing, and training, and controlling, psychologically controlling these widows for years. So, like, that's, like you said, the opening credits are so powerful because you realize this is going to be a way darker story than the other hero solo movies we've seen so far. Because when you really think about it, Black Widow's origins are super dark, and they're rooted in basically kidnapping young girls and manipulating them and all that. So the concept of that is there, and the opening credits did a good job of showing that. But Dreykov himself as a character is just like,
I feel like we have this
Marvel mediocre villain problem anyway.
Yes.
So he's just part of it again.
I feel like the worst moment with him.
Is it the smell thing?
It's actually not even the smell thing. It's actually the moment where he's like, I decided to use the one resource the world has too much of, girls. Oh, I was like, God. Oh, fuck you.
ew.
Punch that guy. That was a good moment because I'm like, okay, now I hate him.
So gross. It's like my.
Yeah.
Okay, his stench is so bad. And honestly, if the only solution was to break your nose? I mean, because no one thought of that before. Also, someone very smartly pointed out, okay, fine, you can't get near him and do violence to him, but if you are far away enough from him that you can't smell him, you can shoot him, right?
Right.
So, like,
yeah.
That's true. No one's thought of that.
Yeah, unless, like, his stance is just maybe embedded in your, I don't know what it is, it's still super ridiculous. Again, it's one of those things that, okay, we're not going to nitpick the science of a superhero movie, but this was particularly stupid. You could just shoot him from afar, you can't smell him then, and he'd be dead. Simple as that. And she didn't, and that's basically how she kills him anyway, because, like, his plane explodes, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she didn't really kill him. If you wanted it to be like an impactful kind of, very personal, I stabbed you and I watched the light go out of your eyes. You didn't. You killed him from afar anyway. You didn't need to break your nose in the end. It's true, so silly.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're supposed to hand wave and not pay attention to those kind of things. That is one of those moments where you're like, no, just let it go.
Gonna have to.
All right. Have we exhausted Black Widow? I think that's pretty good. What did we think of Loki? I've heard so many mixed things, so I don't know what to think.
I'll go first.
How did you feel? I know a lot of people were disappointed, which I was kind of surprised by.
I loved it as a whole, but I was disappointed with the finale. That's my simple take on it. But like, I have more to say, but after.
I would pretty much agree with that. Like, I watched I got the first two episodes, and I watched them together, and I really liked the setup. And I think at that point, maybe I hadn't realized it was only going to be six episodes. Maybe I thought it was going to be eight. But either way, I really liked this idea of opening the door to the multiverse and seeing like a whole, you know, new set of timelines, etc., and variants. And I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the characters we got to meet. I just think that maybe it didn't fulfill the setup or the promise that I was expecting it to. And now I know it's because there's going to be a season two. But if there's going to be a season two, it also, I thought it was going to do more to set up like Doctor Strange, et cetera, you know, maybe the way that WandaVision was also kind of hinting that it would, and then didn't really. And then it didn't. And of course it won't matter now in Doctor Strange since there's still a season two and not all that much has happened in season one. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see maybe the multiverse, since all the Kangs are unleashed, et cetera, that should be affecting the multiverse and will affect Ant-Man and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all. I was just expecting more payoff at the end, but I still enjoyed it.
I was really surprised that they did actually give us Kang, because like, you know, after the whole Mysterio thing.
Right.
Well, they did, but didn't, right?
Even the this is not actually with Kang WandaVision,
as we know him. Right? Yeah, like, this is not Kang. Yeah. It's just, we're obviously getting Kang. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't have, because so many people were saying this was one of the shows they were so excited about. And I was, like, I was looking forward to it, but it wasn't, like, on the top of my radar, really. So maybe because of that, I wasn't as disappointed. And I don't, like, I like... The one thing I have liked about the show is that even Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we both, like, we know, you know, was okay, is that we are getting more of the talking time and actual character development instead of just blowing things up all the time. So I didn't mind that it ends very, like, there's no real huge fight. It's just, okay, more exposition, and this is, we've just kicked off, like, this is your new Thanos, and you know, and we've actually done it in a television series, which, you know, I had so many people who were like, oh, they're never going to do anything that big in the series because you have to, it's like, no, we got, you can't not watch these shows. Like, it's not going to make sense if you don't. I guess they'll make it make sense, but it's going to be so much richer.
Right.
If you've watched.
They'll make it make sense in, like, the Star Wars crawl, where it's like, yes, Palpatine is back from the dead.
And you're like, wait, what? And then you have to read the books to actually find out why. Yeah.
Yeah. Play Fortnite, the special edition of Fortnite that apparently explains that whole thing. Like, oh, you should have been playing Fortnite. You're not a real Star Wars fan. Wow.
So weird. Anyway, but yeah, so I can see why people were disappointed. But I wasn't. Like, I'm actually even more excited. I really like Sylvie. I really like Mobius. I wish they'd just let him, Google have her British accent, but that's okay.
The two of them.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to see, and like, I think it helped seeing it'll return in season two. I'm like, yes, okay. Good, we're gonna get more, especially because, okay, so we're not, obviously we have to get multiverse stuff happening before that, so because we have No Way Home coming and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness both happening before you can possibly get another season of Loki. But I would assume we're probably gonna get another season of Loki sometime next year, so it will be before Quantumania, because that doesn't come out until 2023. And then, you know, yeah, we're just, like, at this point, basically, Kangs can just show, and it could be like, here's a nice one, except that he's not. Or, you know, and you could just get multiple Kangs. Like, they can kill a Kang, and then there's another one.
That's true.
Which would be a little insane. Because the Kang statue that they show at the end, I don't think that's Kang the Conqueror. Like, I don't think that's the big one.
No, that's just new TVA Kang, whatever that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's whatever another. Yeah, like, it's, he's on the, it's a worse Kang, but then, you know, He Who Remains, but it's still obviously not the worst Kang. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm just glad we got Jonathan Majors in there, and now he's gonna get new fans, because I know that not everyone wants Lovecraft Country, so good for him. And he was really good, considering what one of my pet peeves with the finale was, he spent most of it just talking. It's a good thing that you're a charismatic actor and you did your best with that material, but you really just talk so much. It was you're in an exposition machine, and it was this is not how you do a finale. Because we're meeting you just now, and then you're just going to explain everything, and then you die. So, that's kind of annoying. But, yeah. I was one of those people, though, who was really excited about Loki. And it didn't really disappoint. Yeah, on the whole, it's still my favorite of the three series. Despite, like, some of my pet peeves about it. I still really enjoyed most of it. Like you said, I was very surprised how much I enjoyed Owen Wilson's Mobius and just the whole thing.
I really did not think I was going to love him as much as I did.
Right.
I saw a lot of people complaining that we didn't get him on a jet ski.
And like, it was that's like, for season two.
Yeah, we have. There's more story to tell. I also saw people complaining that he never got to say wow. And it was like, how long did it take before Sam Jackson got to say mother F and then fade off, right? It'll get there. It'll probably, it's like, that's not the same person. So then, you'll get him on a jet ski and then he'll say, wow. And then you'll be like, yay.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. Especially knowing we have a season two, it's fine. I'm actually glad that we're going to get a season two. Otherwise, the story feels so incomplete. And maybe that's why when you didn't know that there was be a season two, you felt like, there's no way they're going to wrap all of this up in a satisfactory way. And it's good, because I still want to know more about Hunter B-15. And I just realized, it's like, it's a Lovecraft Country reunion of sorts, because Jonathan Majors and Mumi Mazako are there. Mm-hmm. And then I still want to know what Renslayer is up to, and what's her deal. Because then she finally got some interesting things to do at the end, and you're like, then she goes off, and you don't know what she's going to do. And I think visually, this is the best of the three. Just for all the scenes in the TVA, the apocalypse scenes. My favorite is still like the opening minutes of episode 5, where like they zoom into the void, whatever, the void at the end of time, that whole thing where you see all the Easter eggs. But it's great. Episode 5 is my favorite episode, without a doubt. Just all the Lokis. And for a moment, I was like, they could have just made the series this crazy, chaotic, just Loki variants, just going, betraying each other and stuff. It's great, but of course they had to have like a plot. The Sylvie thing, I like Sylvie and I like Sofia Di Martino, but I didn't like the romance. It really pissed me off. And maybe it's less of, a lot of people got upset by it. It's self-cessed or whatever. It's fiction. It's not like you're gonna that doesn't bother me that much.
It makes perfect sense, though, because literally, who is Loki ever going to fall in love with but himself? Yeah,
himself.
I think
it does.
Yeah, I really like the concept of it, and I don't understand why anyone would ever have a problem with it, because, like, there's no, you can't have it in real life until we have clones, and then you can question if it's okay to fall in love with your clone. But but I do think that I was a little bit like, okay, sure. Because they had him say, or they put in the credits that he's gender fluid, right? That Loki's gender fluid.
Yeah.
And then they had Loki and Sylvie say that they're pansexual, basically. And then they were like, but of course.
But the Loki that Loki will fall in love with
is
the girl Loki.
Yeah.
I was like, also, why is there only one girl Loki? That was something weird. If there, you can have multiple, one is a friggin' alligator, right?
Because Loki as a girl would destroy the world.
That's true.
Yeah. But it was weird. It's like
that is the one way you can make that character like even more terrifying, although he's not really terrifying at all anymore.
Yeah. It's just weird. It's why exactly what Tatiana said. You made a big deal. Like, Disney as usual, like, trying to pat themselves on the back. Oh, representation. Look at us. And progressive. But also, yeah, but still, heterosexual romance. Yeah. Like, wow. Wow, okay.
I did think it was funny that it was, well, at the end of episode 3? Yeah, so at the end of episode 3, before you actually had them, you're like, oh no, they are really doing a romance. And people were like, oh, it's so weird, and people are going to start shipping this now. And I was like, have you read fanfic? Like, people right. have already been shipping this for a really long time. What are you talking about? And they're like, but it's not actually, like, going to happen. And then it happens, and I was like, this is even weirder, because they're like, oh no, we're going there.
Like, okay.
You don't think we're going to go there. We're going there. Yeah, I could take or leave the relationship, but I really like her as a character. I think
I like her, though.
But, yeah.
Well, in the end, she betrays him. It's not like the kiss was a thing. So, I felt really bad. As much as I didn't like the whole relationship, when you see Tom Hiddleston cry at the end, though, it's like, oh, he's alone. He's betrayed again. So, I feel sad for you, even if I'm still not on board with this whole thing. And then, doubly heartbreaking when he talks to Mobius, and Mobius is like, who are you? And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, that was sad. That was much worse than her
betrayal. Yeah.
Like, what?
Her betrayal, you see that coming. She's a Loki. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But, like, Mobius being like, yes, and who are you? Oh, no.
Well, because it seems like, so when they go to the castle, it, like, they're, what they're telling us is that they go to another world. Like, there are already were two universes. And the second one is where Kang's been sitting the whole time. And so that's why when Loki then goes to the TVA in that universe, it's not the one that he made the friendships in. It's not there's actually two TVAs is what I got from it. Maybe I'm wrong?
No, I think it's pretty... Yeah, and where he ends up at the conclusion of the finale is a different TVA already. Yeah. That's why
they don't remember
in a different B-15. So... Yeah. Theoretically, not that you can follow any logic, the Mobius who is his friend is still kind of out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, I didn't just forget. Our B-15 went to Ravonna Renslayer before she became that, right?
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened there.
Yeah. So she might still be there.
Right.
As far as we know, because that's not her, at the end there.
Right.
But also, like, it was cool, like, she was trying to expose the TVA for what it was. Look, we're all variants, blah, blah, blah. But then you never see what happens after.
Yeah.
So maybe she's building some sort of, I don't know, revolt or something. Whatever that means.
Did you guys see where somebody pointed out, so the moment in the final episode where He Who Remains says we just passed the threshold is, if you look at the final episode of WandaVision, it's the exact same timestamp as when becomes the Scarlet Witch.
Oh.
Wow, that's clever.
Yeah, that is clever, and it's like, that feels purposeful.
Right, definitely.
Also, how did someone even notice that? Like, good on them.
I know. The things people go back and look at, you're like, oh my god.
And be like, it's the exact same moment. I didn't think of that at all.
They also said that, like, there's a part, like, right after that, He Who Remains drops something, like, he, like, drops something onto his desk, and that actually lines up exactly with when Agatha falls. And I was like, I feel like that one's a bit more of a stretch, but but I'm like, the threshold thing, that makes sense.
That's she is the Nexus pretty cool. being,
and she just accepted her role. Like, I'm like, I can see that.
Yeah.
And I think Feige has said that yes, they take place at the same time.
I love that.
Yeah. So interesting. Not that time matters because it moves but differently, but yes, but yeah.
Overall, I think like the shows have been like a success, you know, obviously, like obviously speaking financially, but also in terms of like, you know, enjoyment. So I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I think, well, and I think it's hard too, because like I was asking Matt about this, wondering, especially with Loki actually being a second season show or like a multi-season show, where, but we didn't know that, if it if the part of the problem is people are so used to the MCU being one thing, and so they're having a hard time wrapping their head around these other things that also fit into the same universe, but also, like with Loki especially, it's not a complete story. We know it's continuing.
That's true.
That's part of the issue. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know if that's part of why everybody's having such a hard time.
Yeah, because you know that with WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, those are done and done. But although, with Loki, yeah. I mean, I'm still pretty happy because I love Loki and would love to see more of it. And they did, like, the setup they put for this show, the TVA and the existence of the multiverses, was just so much. Like, maybe the first two episodes alone of a 6-episode show were just all exposition. So I said it would have been a waste to, like, throw all that world building away.
That's
such a short show. Especially, like, even as you watch episode 5, you already get the sense that there's no way they're going to be able to wrap this up in one more episode.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's always that suspicion there that it's probably going to be a multi-series. But I also hope that, I don't know if this is answers or addresses the issue, but, like, I hope that they don't make it drag on too long. If they do, like 2 or 3 more seasons, fine. But not, don't make it drag on too long, because it's going to lose steam. It's a good concept for now, but otherwise, if they aren't able to maintain that momentum, they should just end it strong. One of my friends had this comment, though, that when she watched Loki, she said something like, this is what Doctor Who with a bigger budget would look like. It's just pretty funny.
Yeah. A lot of people were like, hey, this is the best season of Doctor Who in a long time.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it does kind of feel like that. I agree. I don't think it could go very much longer. I've also seen people speculating that Loki will end up being in Doctor Strange 2. And I'm like, I don't think so. I think this story only works right now, especially if you're going to have a second season. If you keep it separated and then someday you can work him in. But for the most part, right now, it needs to be its own thing. Especially if nobody else understands what the hell is happening. Like, all of a sudden they have a multiverse and they're like,
I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
Because there's you need to watch to understand, but then it's just like tasking everyone watching everything to understand anything.
You won't be able to do that with everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think, obviously if Loki ends up showing up in Doctor Strange, I'm sure something cool will happen and it'll be fun, but I think it'll just be better if right now
just Wanda. Wanda's
and then we have
there,
a little bit more progress in the story overall, and then maybe you can bring it all together. But yeah, for now, I'd rather see it stay apart. But, you know, I'm enjoying my shows. So, like, yeah, we get what
that's
if
true.
A few
weeks,
yay!
And then I'm gonna guess Hawkeye is before Ms. Marvel, but we just don't know.
Yeah, I would think so, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I would think that Ms. Marvel. Actually, no, maybe not. Because I feel like Captain Marvel 2 is called The Marvels, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So they're probably going to do Ms. Marvel before they do that movie.
Yes.
What's her name? From WandaVision. I forget. Maria? Maria's daughter? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Monica?
Rambeau.
Monica Rambeau, yeah.
Yeah. So they'll be the Marvels, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Hawkeye's going to have Kate Bishop and Yelena, probably. Stirring some stuff up.
So excited.
I know.
That's good. Everybody loves Yelena. Which is sad because we do love ScarJo, but with the way Natasha is written, she's just not that fun.
No,
and
yeah, Yelena's exactly.
Like,
that's
immediately likable.
Like, right. Like, people were complaining about how she was outshined in her own movie, but I'm like, she's never done it. Like, the way they've written her and the way she's portrayed, too, she's not going to outshine anyone. She's literally played as, like, the straight man to whoever's there. So, like, that person is going to just reflect.
It's actually going to be weird if you suddenly have her quipping like Tony or
having
more of a personality. Because that's not the way she is anyway.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that they did provide enough context for, like, who she is and why she is this way based on who her family, quote-unquote, family is. So I thought that was good.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to see where it all goes still. Like, I think it was kind of nice to have a bit of a break. I think that was probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For us also to have time to talk about it and to, like, soak everything in. Because the problem, I think, with releasing all these things one after the other is then maybe you can't appreciate them as they are. I mean, I'm also glad that Disney Plus decided not to go the Netflix route and to release the episodes once a week instead of, like, dumping the whole thing. Even if I know you mentioned that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is better when you binge it, but I don't know, there's always that excitement when you have to wait a week for the next thing. And with Loki, that's how I felt. I was always looking for it. Wednesday is a weird time to have, it's still weird to me to be excited about something in the middle of the week, as opposed to a Friday. But yeah, it always, for a weird 6 weeks, I was looking forward to every Wednesday. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still weird getting used to Wednesdays, but I think I like it in a way, because especially now that we're going to be doing things again. It's like Friday is a bad day to drop something, really. Well, as we do things again, but then we kind of shut down again.
As we try to.
It's a roller coaster. Again.
It's such a roller coaster. Yeah. All right. Is that all we had to say about Loki? Is there anything else we need to add?
Fun for the whole family. That's all I got. I support self-cest.
Well, it's like they are different people, just the same genetics.
That's right. Even but they worse, clearly though. Don't have the genetics. Like, I mean, you can't say that.
A lot of people are okay with incest with the Lannisters. So I'm like, I don't know what you're doing with this.
You watched 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. Shut up.
Incest is definitely worse than self-cest. So.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you're in the same universe and the same timeline. It's still weird. Oh, I don't. Could we talk about quickly the Lokis in episode 5? What do you think of, like, Richard E. Grant?
He was great.
Yeah.
I insist that somehow he come back.
Right.
Because he was the best.
We need the adventures of classic Loki, for sure.
Yeah.
And I did so much with so little, right?
Yeah.
Like, even when he was just telling, so what's your story, Loki? Like, nobody wants to hear that. And he was talking about, oh, I was on this. It was so mesmerizing. It's like, that's really what happens when you have a good actor. He could just be talking and be like,
I do like that they used his story to, like, address the people who are like, well, maybe Loki didn't die and he faked his death. And it's like, that's exactly what that character did. But right, it's like, well, right. He would have been proven. So, yes, you can believe there's a universe where that happened. But then it's sad because he just sat on a rock by himself the whole time.
Yeah, the one time he decided to go out, it's like, okay, TBH. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah, but he could have created a replica of Asgard, apparently. So at least he was in his home, maybe?
That's
by himself, so maybe that's even worse.
Yeah. The music of Loki is really great also. I really like the music. It made me watch, like, the end credits. I don't usually watch the end credits on TV series, but because the music is always, they always end so, like, it's always so epic towards the end, so I really end up just watching the credits roll because the music is so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same.
Like that. There.
Okay, so I decided, because it's late enough now that they probably revealed whatever was going to happen at the Doctor Who panel, to look. And Jacob Anderson, who played Grey Worm, is joining Doctor Who.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a picture of him. It doesn't really say what.
Well, it's Doctor Who, so it could be anything.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It could be a one-shot role. There is a trailer, too, but I'm not going to watch that right now. But that's cool. Good for him. That could be interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I also, so before we wrap up, I wanted to talk about something that I didn't mention before because I did not ask Corey if I could talk about it. So this is, I'm going to have to send him a text message when we get off this so I can find out if I can talk about this thing before we publish the podcast. Anyway. So my friend Corey, who's been on the podcast before and who I mentioned a lot, is also a screenwriter. And he wrote a series, or co-wrote a series, he did most of the writing, called Home Invasion, that was produced for a streaming network in Sweden. It's in English. And it stars Marina Baccarin and yeah. And oh god, what's his face from I'm gonna forget his name. From Fringe?
John, which one? Yeah.
John, whatever John his last name is.
John Noble.
John Noble.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what Denethor.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a short comedy. They're like 20-30 minute episodes each. I think there were six. And it's basically like aliens invaded and then stuff happens with like humans in their house. The whole story takes place basically in their house. And it's a comedy. It's really fun. It's really sweet. I really liked it. It's one of those things too, like, so we watched it with him because he got screeners because it's not in the US.
Okay, they're hoping to. Okay.
They haven't done it yet. But he got screeners, so we watched it with him. And it's always one of those things where you're sitting there or like beforehand, you're like, what if we don't like it? Because you can't
I hope I like it. It's awkward then.
Yeah. But weird. No, we were genuinely laughing a lot. It was really, really fun.
Oh, yay. Very fun.
I really like it. So if you get a chance to watch it, I would highly recommend it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's got like.
So where's it coming out?
Which platform? It's already out in Sweden. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know when
or if it's going to come out in the U.S. Right. They're trying to, but like it was made.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah. It stars Johan Glans, which is he's like basically one of the biggest actors in Sweden. He's in it, so which is basically why it got made. And he's really fun. I liked him a lot. And yeah, it's really cool. And then it was really fun. So one of the characters is named Val.
Aww.
And at first, like, I'm just watching, not thinking about it. And he looks over, because he's, like, on the other side of Matt, and he looks over at me, and I'm like, oh, wait, I know the guy's
face. That's so cute. I love that.
I know. That was fun. And she's a badass. So that was cool. Yeah, I liked that.
Well, I definitely hope that we can watch this.
I definitely hope it comes here, because it's good, clean fun, and it's lighthearted, which mm-hmm. you just kind of need right now.
Right.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And it's a quick watch because it's not very long. So, like, it's, I think, less than 3 hours.
Nice. It's like a long movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. We did it in one set seating. We went and watched it at his house. So, very cool. That was a lot of fun. So, yeah. So, hopefully he lets me talk about that so I don't have to.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it already exists in the world. So, like, it's not like.
That's what I'm thinking, shouldn't be able to talk about. And I'm not spoiling anything.
Right.
So people like I've seen it, the first time I heard about it, he sent me the link about Marina Baccarin's casting on Variety. It was reported, so people knew it was happening. They filmed it in Budapest, I believe. Mm. But it's, you know, you can't really tell that. It's obviously it was more because it was cheap, and it's all on a set. But it's really I really liked it. I could see how they could do more of it. So I'm hoping. It's the story basically finishes, but you could see how they could continue it if they want to. So hopefully they do, because it's a lot of fun. So yeah, if you have a chance to watch that, hopefully, you know, there will be legal means that you can watch it sometime soon.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, congrats all right. to Corey.
Yeah. So I'll send him a text message as soon as I'm done to ask him if I can talk about that or if we have to remove that. So anyway. All right. Thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte. We'll be back sometime soon. I don't know. We should start recording more again. There's stuff to talk about, but
right.
It's also how busy we all are. Anyway, at least once a month we can do. So as always, follow, With an Accent on Twitter. It's at With an Accent on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and With an Accent TV on YouTube. Hopefully things will start happening again soon so we can actually like do more in-person stuff, but we'll see.
Yes.
I'm not going to New York Comic Con, so that's a big one. I'm not paying the flight to New York right now when I don't know what's going to be happening. Anyway, and follow the podcast at PopFollowCartPod on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
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 Bye-bye.